Our scripture reading this morning is from Mark chapter 5, and in the bulletin you'll notice it says 1 through 10. Kind of drops you off in the middle of the story, so I'm just going to go to verse 20 to finish it off for you guys. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons at his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town, the countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons, sitting there, dressed, and of his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man, and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting onto the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed.
Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There's nothing like a good miracle story, like a story about Jesus feeding 5,000 people with only 5 loaves and 2 fish, or Jesus giving sight to a man who was born blind, or Jesus healing a paralytic who had been let down through a roof with a hole cut in it in order to see him. Or maybe a juicy exorcism story. A good story about Jesus ridding a man of a multitude of demons, only to kill about 2,000 pigs. Today's story from Mark may be a miracle story, but I definitely didn't get those warm fuzzies that I normally get when I read about miracles. Our story begins by saying Jesus entered a region called the Gerasenes, which was a Gentile country. Jesus was moving out of his home territory, the territory of the Jews, and he was moving into these uncharted waters. The Gentiles themselves were known as the outsiders, the uncircumcised, the non-Jewish, the people who don't belong in the family of God. And yet we find Jesus going there anyway. And here we find Jesus in a Gentile area, the area of the outsiders, near a cemetery of all places, talking to a man who's possessed by demons. Verses 3 and 4 tell us that nobody could subdue this man anymore, and no one had the strength to subdue him. Many had tried, many had failed. I imagine they tried rope, weights, shackles, chains, anything they could think of, but nothing was strong enough. The strongest people in the community had come out one by one, each trying to tie this man up, to subdue him, to calm him down, and each failing. The man's mental and emotional war raging inside of him was too strong to be contained. Everybody had given up on him. They'd turned to each other, discussed possible options for what to do, and finally threw their hands up in the air and said, "Look, we've tried everything. We've talked to his parents. We've sent him to excellent doctors. We've exiled him. We've tried to restrain him. We don't know what to do anymore. We've had enough. We're giving up. Leave him alone. It's his problem. There's nothing else we can do for him anyway." The text says that this man's loneliness was so intense that he had begun howling and cutting himself with stones he found laying on the ground in the cemetery. I wonder how long it had been since he'd seen a loving face. How long since he'd received a hug, a comforting word, a look of understanding. A small laugh, a funny joke, a sarcastic remark, a touch on the shoulder, or someone saying, "I love you." How long had it been since he was treated like and felt like a real human being? Even this man's name isn't a human name. When Jesus asks him what his name is, he replies, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Which is not a very common name, if you think about it. It's not a name you hear when you meet someone at the supermarket or at work. It's not Adam or Eric or Matthew. It's not even one of those crazy, weird biblical names like Barabbas or Methuselah or Melchizedek. But Legion. Legion is his name. And Legion is a military word that was used to describe an infantry of 6,000 men. So when this man responds to Jesus' question, what he's really saying when he says, "My name is Legion," is, "I don't have a human name. My name is Legion because there are many wars going on inside of me." Thomas Long, a well-known preacher, tells a story about an actress named Dorothy McGuire. She was appearing on a Broadway play, and just before the show began on a Friday night, the theater was disturbed by a shrill voice in the audience shouting, "Start the show! Start the show! I want to see Dorothy McGuire!" This woman was clearly emotionally disturbed. And after a moment of shocked silence, some people in the audience began to turn on her. "Listen, you old bag, get out," one yelled. "Throw her out, start the show," another said. Even the house manager came out and tried to reason with this woman, but she pulled away, screaming all the louder, "I just want to see Dorothy McGuire, then I will leave." Suddenly, through a part in the curtains, Dorothy McGuire herself appeared. She crossed the stage and walked calmly over to the woman. She spoke quietly to her, and she hugged her. The woman, who had recoiled whenever anyone else tried to touch her, drew close to Dorothy, got up from her seat, and together they walked towards the exit. But before they left the theater, Dorothy paused and turned around to the audience. With grace and kindness, she said, "I'd like to introduce another fellow human being." Dorothy was able to see something that the others in the audience had forgotten about. Where they had only seen trouble, disturbance, and a threat, Dorothy saw a fellow human being. She had eyes to see past what this woman was doing into her heart and into her humanity. She had drawn near, touched her, and treated this woman as if she still had value. This is what Jesus does. He draws near to demoniacs in cemeteries and regions of the country where one is not supposed to go. He touches them, and he listens to them. And if we're to follow Jesus, we're to be these listening people too. How often do we do that? How often do we draw near to these people? I would contend that we don't draw near very much as we maybe should. were like the citizens in this story. The citizens who have exiled the man and only come out again whenever he was healed. As those citizens, we've sometimes ignored homeless people on the streets, driven by jails or prisons without giving them a second thought. We've known people with mental illnesses, and instead of talking about it, we've pretended it wasn't happening. We've subtly excluded people from our community because sometimes it's just too uncomfortable or scary to let them in. Or maybe it's something smaller. We've averted eye contact with someone, said we're too busy when someone asks something of us, or left a room quickly so we wouldn't have to talk to that person. When I worked at a women's prison last summer, I met with a woman who can be considered a modern-day demoniac. During our sessions weekly, she shared that her family had completely cut her off because of her violent past. She'd burned bridges with them before. She'd hurt them. She'd said awful things. They'd given her tries time and time again, but they'd had enough. She's currently in prison with contact from no one from the outside, but throughout the weeks, she slowly revealed to me that she desperately wants forgiveness and prays for it all the time. She feels judged by her family and like she's perceived as a threat. In looking over my notes this week with our sessions, I found a quote. One session she ended by saying, "I just want love from my family, and I'm not sure how to get it. Once I realized that I'd lost their love, I started acting out. I tried to do anything to get it back. And I've spent so long acting out because I want to be loved. Being cut off from people can make you go crazy." Another woman I worked with had been in prison for about 10 years. She long since lost contact with anyone outside as well, and prison had become her new life, her new home, her new way of being and understanding. In our sessions, we worked on her ability to interact with other people because she truthfully didn't know how to. She didn't know how to be friendly or what might be offensive. She didn't know how to confront somebody without causing a scene. She frequently made other people angry and was a hard person to be around. But one day, exasperated, she said to me, "You don't know what it's like to have everyone hate you and to have no friends." She really wanted to learn. She wanted authentic relationship, but just didn't have anyone to teach her. These women cut off from society by barbed wires and locked doors aren't so different from the man in the story we read this morning. And I wonder if this woman is really that different from us. Just like we're these citizens in the story who have exiled people, we are also legion ourselves. Now, we may not be ostracized and writhing in chains and cemeteries, but we have demons inside of us. We like to think we don't. We like to think that we are different from them. I know I do. But we each have a demon. Probably not just one, either. We likely have a few more than we are ready to admit. Maybe we've held a grudge for someone for so long that we've lost a relationship. Or maybe we're the one with a mental illness or a secret addiction or maybe something we're worried could turn into an addiction. We gossip, struggle with anger, and tell lies. We worry that we'll be treated like Legion was if anyone was to find out about these struggles. And sometimes we worry that we're already being treated like Legion. Maybe we are. It's important that we see ourselves in both ways in this story and both characters, not only as the citizens who have ignored an outcast, but also as Legion, as people who have our own demons. Because it's precisely by recognizing our own fragility and brokenness that we'll be able to find this empathy and love to welcome in someone else with their demons. The man in the story does not stay in the cemetery. Instead, he runs out to Jesus and bows down before him. Something about Jesus' presence compels this man to leave the cemetery. Now, this man hasn't had another conversation with a human being in years, but he approaches Jesus anyway. Jesus is different. He knows he can have a conversation with Jesus. Jesus will interact with him because, after all, Jesus associates with the unclean. And yet, the man begs to be left alone, to not be given a hard time, to be left unchanged. He's gotten used to his legion, and he maybe even finds it comfortable. He's lived with his demons a long time. He may not like his demons, but he knows them. They're familiar. They're the only company he's had in an otherwise lonely existence. And Jesus, well, Jesus is offering change. And change can be hard and scary. This man will have to learn to interact with people again. He'll have to learn to love and let himself be loved. He'll have to learn to trust, to be honest and sincere, how to be a good friend. So maybe it's just easier to stay the way he is. But unfortunately, and fortunately, an encounter with Jesus cannot and does not leave us unchanged. Jesus gives an order, and the legion of demons leaves the man and enters into a herd of pigs instead, all of which immediately stampede over a cliff and die. This man has been changed. Changed by an encounter with Jesus. And now the citizens have come out to see him, to see what's happened, to see how he's been healed. In one brief encounter, this man's demons have been expelled, and he's suddenly surrounded by people again, with new opportunities for change right in front of him. When we admit that we have demons, we can run to Jesus, the one who transforms all things, and bow down before him. When we admit that we have demons, we're able to face the fear of change and trust that Jesus' way is better. And when we're all bowed down before Jesus together, confessing our demons right next to our brothers and sisters, we will find that having demons doesn't make us less human. Instead, it's a common experience that unites us all. Our eyes will be opened to our brothers and sisters who, like us, are struggling with their legions. In this togetherness, at the feet of Jesus, we can find grace and patience for the other. And when Jesus leads us to having that grace and patience for another, maybe there will be fewer people on the streets without homes, in prisons without visitors, fewer feeling alone and abandoned with their inner secrets. Perhaps there will be fewer legions in our cemeteries or our churches, workplaces, homes, or schools. So let's run to Jesus, bow down, and confess our demons together. Let's meet other people in the midst of their legions and have compassion on them. Let's begin this practice of including an outsider and venture into our modern-day cemeteries, inviting people back into our communities. Will you please pray with me? God, thank you for the word that you've spoken to us today through your story in the Gospel of Mark. Thank you for showing us people in need and for allowing us to have need. Teach us how to love others the way that you did and how to love ourselves the way you love us. Give us strength to venture into modern-day cemeteries and bring back people who need love. In your name we pray. Amen.